she'd be on it, yeah.
On, yes. Praise God. Well, it was a fabulous time out in worship, and I just want to thank the team just for leading us so well in worship. Good to be here. We have journeyed with these guys for a while, and we have just been so blessed with Kenny and Lynn in our life. And just probably I journeyed a part of it with MIT, didn't we, together, and got to know them, and we have just been just so blessed to be here. As Kenny says, we've just been in Dundee a year and a half, probably a year and 3 months, actually. 27 years at Glasgow Elam, and we were just so set that we were going to be in Glasgow Elam for the rest of our life, that Glasgow was a place for us to be, and we were going to plant a church in Glasgow after I got ordained. I got ordained just under two years ago, and all set to plant a church in Glasgow on a place, Cambus Lyon. We got the community centre all ready, and then just God just spoke into our lives and says, you're not going to be here, you're going somewhere else. And you know what we said, Annette and I? God, please don't send this to Dundee. You know, 4 years ago when we were getting inducted into Glasgow as the assistant pastors, and Kevin just mentioned that we wouldn't be there forever because as we journeyed as pastors, we might leave and we could end up in Dundee. And Annette and I says, there is no way we are going to Dundee. But you know, when you say, and I just want to say that, what we have discovered, when men and women and children, I'm not preaching yet, by the way, say yes to God, you know, he will do more than we can ever ask or imagine. You know, we have in our minds, don't we, what we can do and what we think, well, God can maybe use me here. But when we just say yes to God, and many years ago, Annette and I sat there and says, God, we will go wherever, we will do whatever you say to us, we will go. And God spoke into our lives, brought us to Dundee, and you know, Glasgow's a distant memory because we have fell so much in love with Dundee. And you know, I really believe that there is a move of God coming. And I know we've heard it, and I'm not going to, well, I won't make the revival words. We all pray, God, send revival. But you know, what's been on Annette and I's heart through Dundee, the whole northeast, I really believe that God is going to move. Do you know, there's just a word, in, I think in the Old Testament it says, the eyes of the Lord roam the earth, looking for people whose hearts are fully devoted to him. Do you know, and I really feel there's some people here this morning, you need to know that you are not forgotten. That you are not forgotten. You're not forgotten. And I need you to know that. That the eyes of the Lord are roaming the earth, and he's looking for people whose hearts are devoted to him. And when you say, yes, God, then I'll tell you, he will use you mightily. And you guys, you are going to be blessed down there. And I want to just say, enjoy it. Enjoy it, Gordon. Enjoy the experience, is he? And just because when the call of God is on my life, he will do more than you can ever ask or imagine in your life. And we are just so blessed. Annette and I are just so blessed. We're at Glasgow Elam. But about us, we've been married 35 years, 3 children, 4 grandchildren, 1 on the way, which we are so happy with. And again, in fact, grandchild, not a child on the way, a grandchild on the way. Our last grandchild was born the day we flew out on holiday on September. And she wasn't due. It was 5 weeks after that she was due. We thought, oh, plenty of time. We'll be back before the baby's born. The day we flew out, Stephanie goes into labour, the baby's born, and Annette's wanting to come home again. I said, you can't, we're just here. And this year, we're on holiday again, September. When is Stephanie due? September. We are just so going for God. And this morning as I prayed and really asked God, God, what word could I bring to the people at Kirriemuir? and the phrase bent out of shape came into mind. I don't know if I say that, what comes to your mind when I mention bent out of shape? You know, some people get bent out of shape, they get annoyed, infuriated, things come against them, and the people will say, just don't let them get you bent out of shape. Other times when we're in a place where we're not in a place where we want to be, and we just can't seem to get there, and we just feel a bit bent out of shape. And as I thought about this, I thought about my garden and my other house, and we had a massive conifer tree in the neighbour's garden, and we've got a fabulous view out our window. It looks over the whole of the city of Glasgow. And I've seen this conifer tree growing and growing. And do you know what worried me? This is going to just block this beautiful view of our window. And as I watched, we have lots of wind and storms coming up where we stayed in Glasgow, right on the top of an old golf course. And as I noticed over the years, this conifer tree was going that way. It was bending. I thought, yes, God, it's you. But it was the wind and the storms, and this conifer tree started growing that way, and it was bent out of shape. And this morning, I want to talk about someone who was bent out of shape. And if you have your Bible, in Luke chapter 13, in fact, there's two people in this story who are bent out of shape. One is physical, and one has an attitude in their life that's bent out of shape. Bless you. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. It says, on a Sabbath day, or on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? And when he had said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. And here in this story, we have a woman who has bent over and been bent over for 18 years. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I use my imagination. I go wild in my imagination. And I just picture this woman bent over, looking at the ground for 18 years. And I start to think, how did she eat? How did she talk to people? How did people talk to her? And I just look at her and I thought, what a way to spend your life looking at the ground, bent over, for 18 years. 18 years. One other guy there in that story is bent out of shape, and his attitude of saying, well, we don't want to heal her on the Sabbath, but come the other days and we'll heal you. And I don't know, even as he said that, I don't have many recorded times when Jesus wasn't there. Like, there's 6 days to get healed. Was anyone getting healed in these 6 days? But here was a day when Jesus was there, and this woman met the Jesus who would transform her life. All through the Bible, stories of healing. People who sought Jesus out, the woman with the issue of blood who pressed through the crowd and touched him, saying, if I'll only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. People who came and seeking for Jesus says, can you come and help my family member? But here we have this woman who is in the synagogue. Doesn't say anything about seeking Jesus out. Maybe in my imagination, I'm thinking she's heard that there's a visiting speaker. Jesus is coming. And so she'll come, and maybe the visiting speaker has the power to heal her. I don't know. But one thing was, she was here. And she's in the synagogue. Could not straighten up. Luke is a doctor by trade, and so he's diagnosing her and saying that she was crippled by a spirit. She was prevented from looking up by a spirit. Do you know, and as I think, even just with being bent over, bent out of shape, looking at the ground, you know, there's many things that can bend us out of shape in our lives. Do you know, disappointment can bend you out of shape. Sin can bend you out of shape. Anger and bitterness, abuse, physical, mental, sexual, bringing pain can bend you out of shape. Long-term sickness can bend you out of shape from who you are supposed to be. People, we've seen so many people carrying long-term sickness, and now they get to places where, well, God doesn't want to heal me. Can God actually heal me? And they start to be bent out of shape and they're thinking. So, but I want to also say that pain can keep you in shape. How you position and posture yourself can get you in a place where you are in the right shape. I'm remembering probably one Friday morning, I'm asking God, and I'm saying, God, what will I speak on the next few weeks? And God says, I want you to talk and start speaking about contending. I want you to start speaking about contending for the faith, contending in prayer. And I'm saying, okay. And just as I started writing, there was a phone call came. And Annette had word that her brother had been driving to work, had pulled in and collapsed behind the wheel. And I just thought, God, I didn't realize I had to start contending now. And you know, as I drove to pick up Annette, speaking in tongues, praying and contending for Stephen, who was 50 at the time. Annette and I, as we got there, and the doctor says he's had a heart attack, he's in intensive care, we're sending him to the Royal Jubilee Hospital. And we just says, praise God, because that is a great hospital. And as he lay there, we contended for his life. Do you know, and we could have been bent out of shape thinking, why would God allow this to happen? God, we have been serving you for 20 years, and why have you allowed this to happen? But you know, we positioned ourselves in front of the church, Annette more than me, and she just worshiped God. She just stood and worshiped and says, God, I thank you that you are in control, that you're still loving me, and Lord, whatever happens, we will serve you. And we prayed and we contended. The whole family looked to us because they're saying, yours are the Christians. Yours are the Christians. You pray for them. And we prayed for Stephen. And do you know what God says to us, Stephen and Annette? He's mine. And it's time to let him go. It's time to let him go. Painful as it was, we had to let him go. We had to let him go. But you know, that pain made us stronger. Because it drew us closer to God. We were dependent on God. And you know, circumstances in life, church, can bend us out of shape. People who have hurt us, people who have disappointed us, can say, well, I'm never going to trust anyone ever again. And you know, our lives can become so bent out of shape. Do you know, we are in a spiritual attack. We are in a spiritual war, aren't we? The kingdom of God is advancing, but we are in a battle. And we have an enemy of our soul that just wants to keep us locked in, to keep our eyes off of God and to look at our circumstances, to look at the ground bent out of shape, just looking, God, it's depressive. God, what, I need help. God, what are you going to do? God, I have no hope. But you know, this morning, I really believe that God wants to come and touch some lives this morning. Not probably like the way we were normally talked about, I'm going to straighten you out. But God wants to come and just bring healing and to touch our lives, that we can look up, that we can set our eyes on things above, not on worldly, earthly things. Do you know, and that's hard at times, church. That is so hard. And here we have this woman, 18 years of being bent over. And you know, hear what it says in verse 11, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit. The woman was there, 18 years, and she was there. She was there. She was in the house of God, worshipping. I don't know if it happens in Kirriemuir, Kenny, I don't know, but certainly in Glasgow it happened. In Dundee it happens. Do you know, I get phone calls from people, sorry, I'm feeling a bit unwell, won't be at church today. I just really feel quite low, so I'm just going to take some time out. So I won't be at church today. Do you know, why is it that the place where they will find fellowship, people coming round them to build them up, where we can come and worship God, where we can come and be healed and just lifted up. Yes, Jesus can touch them in their houses. But you know, I really believe that the eyes of the Lord are roaming the earth, looking for people whose hearts are devoted to Him. That people will get beyond their circumstances and say, yeah, I feel depressed. I feel depressed. But this morning I'm going to the house of God and I'm going to worship my God. Whatever the circumstances, I am worshiping my God. She was there. And I want to encourage you, church, if you're facing some stuff, there, here is your place. In the house of God with other fellow believers who you can come and just worship together and just allow God to come and lift you up. To change your focus. She was there. And I don't know if she was bitter, if she was saying, God, why am I still like this? We don't know. But the one thing was, she was there. And you know, I really believe there's times in our life we have to press through. We have to press through our feelings. We have to press through just what is happening in our life and be there. Be around people. Be around people. And here we have Jesus was there. Jesus, I don't think, went to seek her out. Maybe he did. But he was in the synagogue, and this woman was in the synagogue. And when Jesus saw her, I believe he had compassion on her. Maybe he was asking people, so how long has this woman been like this? But she was there. Your position will determine your shape. How you position yourself will determine your shape. Do you know, there's been many times as I worked and a lot of times at the desk, and people say, have you got a bad back? And I'd be like, no. How do you know? Well, you're hunched. And they would see by my shape. And you know what it was? The way I positioned myself, the way I sat on the couch, the way I sat in chairs, I slouched. And you know, over the time when I did that, I was starting to come out of shape. And I was starting to kind of walk like that. Not feeling any pain, but just that over the time, my posture had created a shape. And you know how we posture ourselves before God? As we build in prayer and reading God's word. As we build in worship, how we position ourselves before God will determine what shape we take. God wants to shape us. He is molding us and making us. Do you believe that today, church? You know, but you're not forgotten. You're not forgotten. She went as usual. She went as usual. And we have to build it in. We have to. Do you know, if I get a phone call, not just as a pastor, between 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock, if I had a phone call from my mum, I know there would be an emergency. Because my mum will never phone me from between 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock because she knows I'm in church. She knows I'm working. And obviously I'm working, but at times when I wasn't, she wouldn't phone because she knew Sunday, for us, we were there worshipping God. It was non-negotiable. It was non-negotiable. This woman was there. And we tend, don't we, if we're honest, to shrink back and just say, I'll have a morning in. I don't want to go. Rather not go to church. And that will say, well, you have to, you're the pastor. I can't face these people again. But she was there. And do you know what Jesus does? He brings her out. He brings her out. He says, that woman, come forward. And this woman, probably as she is hunched over, is walking out to the front, probably knowing that all the eyes are on her. All the eyes are on her. And everybody is staring at her. There's that woman. Wonder what Jesus is going to do now. And you know, do you remember as a child when you're out, certainly does when we were our kids, and you would see someone who had a disability or whatever it was, and the kids would just stare. Dad, look at them. You're like, slap. Don't stare. A nice wee slap. Turn away. Don't stare. Turn. No, don't stare at them. It's rude. And here, this Jesus is bringing this woman forward for all to see, and this woman comes forward. And Jesus is there. And what does he do? He touches her. Do you know, Jesus saw her. Jesus saw her. And many times in our life, we could be thinking, God, do you actually see what I'm going through? God, do you see the pain I'm going through? God, do you see what that person has said about me? God, do you see just my depression? God, do you see my pain? God, do you see? And we start to doubt that God actually notices, that he's noticing other people, but when it comes to me, God doesn't notice. But I want to tell you this morning, God sees you. He sees your circumstances. He sees your pain. He sees your hurt. He sees your disappointment. He sees you. And he knows you. And he loves you. He loves you. Do you know, last week, I spoke at Dundee Elam Church. Psalm 139. God knows us. Do you know, God knows us. And do you know what? He still loves us. Do you know, as God looks at my life, as I know my life, you know your life. And I'm sure if I was to say, okay, we'll pick somebody and we'll just put your whole life on the big screen, you would be like, oh no. But you know, as we look at our life, God knows all our foibles. He knows all our attitudes. He knows the good things and the not so nice things that we want to try and keep hidden. And God loves us. He loves us and he cares for every one of us. And he wants to shape us into the person that he wants us to be like, Jesus. And you know, as bad things happen to good people. And you know, pain and circumstances can shape us into what God has wanted us. And you know, sometimes one of the postures that we have to bring into our lives is brokenness. Sometimes we have to come to that place where we are broken before God. And God just comes and loves on us and cares for us and just puts us back into shape because he's the potter and we are the clay and he is a loving potter who is just shaping us into someone who is beautiful. Do you know this morning you are beautiful? Kenny, you're beautiful this morning. Do you know you are beautiful because he is the one who is shaping us. And some of us need to talk in the mirror and say, you are beautiful. You're a child of God. You know, 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us that we could be called children of God. Do you know, I do see when I'm shaving, I look in the mirror and I go, you're a child of God. Stephen, you're a child of God. I'm not having a breakdown, but I have to remind myself. And you know, sometimes we know in here that some of us need to speak it out. Because we're not hearing it from other places. Hopefully you're hearing it from church and from your groups. But I know there's not a lot of times when someone is coming and saying, do you know, you're really loved, you're blessed, you're a child of God. We're not getting it from the world. We get it from God's word. And we get it from believers who gather together and say, you are a child of God. Jesus calls this woman a daughter of Abraham. Do you know, people might have named her the crippled woman, the bent over woman, the woman with the condition, that woman who's bent over. But Jesus sees her and calls her a daughter of Abraham. And you know what her condition, that probably the world would say, has named her? Jesus doesn't, because he sees who you really are. Do you know who you really are? If you know Jesus this morning, you're a child of God. You're a child of God, a son and daughter of the living God. I'm a child of God. Tell yourself, I'm a child of God. Go, on you go. You can talk in church. No, I don't think you heard yourself. Can you say it again? Are you convinced? Do you know, this was not the woman who was bent over or who had the condition or who was crippled or who was under demonic oppression or whatever. This was a child of God. And Jesus called her by name, the child of God, the daughter of Abraham. And society, please forgive us, God, that we put names on people, don't we? Well, that's the drug addict. Well, that's the alcoholic. Well, there's a paedophile. There's the abuser. There's that guy. There's that guy. Do you know, and there's people who are in pain and who need to know the love of God. And society puts names on people. But really, if you condense it right down, we have sin in the world that is just shaping people the wrong way. Disappointment, hurts, pain, life, who are just misshaping people, and Jesus wants to come. What was it, the kingdom of God, when John the Baptist was making the rough places smooth and the crooked places straight? And you know, God wants to come and just come and transform our lives. And the misshaping, the bent out of shapes attitudes and beliefs that we have about ourselves, God wants to just come and say, no, that's not what I see about you. You are loved and you're a child of God. Jesus sees deep into the heart of this woman. Jesus sees into the heart of us. And as I said, he sees the pain. He sees the anger. He sees the times when we have been abused. He sees the humiliation we've felt at times. He's seen the loneliness, the disappointment. And he is there saying, I'm here. And I want to take away your disappointment. I want to take away your shame. We come across so many people who are carrying shame. And they are just so trying to keep it so hidden that it's just eating them up. But when we meet with them and we get them just to come on, Jesus took our shame when he went to the cross. He did. And just see people just being released into the freedom that God has won for them through Jesus Christ. Galatians, it says, isn't it? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do you know, God wants us to be walking in freedom. God wants us to, the enemy of our soul doesn't want us to be walking in freedom. He wants us to keep us just in bondage, in our box. He even probably seems wants to keep us within these four walls of our churches. When there's a lost city, there's lost communities out there who need to know the love of God. And as we carry, I carry, you carry, the presence of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, who's living in you, that this world needs people like that. And that's you and I, church. We are Jesus' hands and feet. Jesus comes with love and grace and mercy, and Jesus puts his hand on this woman, and things change. 18 years became an immediately. 18 years became an immediately. For 18 years she was bent over, immediately she straightened up and she praised God. That's my Jesus. That is my Jesus. That's your Jesus, I hope. This morning, what has you bent out of shape? Do you know, and there'll be little pauses because I want us to be thinking. I don't want us just to be all hearing, sing the closing song, and then off we go. You know, sometimes in church we need that space just to think and to pause and to ask God, "What God, is there anything in my life that's got me bent out of shape? God, is there any disappointment in my life?" Some of us, it'll be so obvious. Some of us, that God will just come and I really believe he'll just start to reveal stuff. God, are you concerned about the pain in my life? God, do you know what I'm going through? Do you know, we can ask God that. God's not there saying, don't ask me that. He knows everything about you. He knows what's got you bent out of shape. What attitude has got you bent out of shape? What attitude? Do you know, the synagogue leader had an attitude that was bent out of shape, because he's saying that, well, there's 6 days for that, not on this day. This woman, yes, has been in 18 years like that. So don't heal her today, God, Jesus, heal her tomorrow, not on the Sabbath. And his attitude, you know, Max Licato, it says a legalism has no pity on people, or a legalist. Legalism makes my opinion your burden, makes my opinion your boundary, makes my opinion your obligation. Nothing will keep a Christian more immature than trying to keep a whole list of rules and regulations. Jesus has come to set us free. Jesus has come to set us free. And you know, one of the biggest things we have is the Word of God. The Word of God, where we can just come. Do you know, this Word is alive and active. Do you know, is when I always watch, my dad's a landscape gardener, and he would have his roses, and do you know, he would have the sticks in the ground and all the flowers tied to the sticks to keep the flowers straight. I never learned that process, because in our house in Dundee, when we put the flowers in, we just saw them going right over. And we had to go and get sticks and then tie them up. Do you know, this Word, the Word of God, will keep us on the straight and narrow, will keep us on that road, will tell us how to live our life. Do you know, at the minute, we are taking our church through a community Bible experience, reading through the New Testament 8 weeks. Wow, there's a feat. A lot of them are struggling with it, of reading the New Testament 12 pages a day, reading through the New Testament. But you know, as we are not being legal about it, we are saying, just read. Get people into the Word of God. And you know, as we are seeing people just reading God's Word, we're just seeing, we set up a WhatsApp, we set up a Facebook. As much as I'm not a lover of these social media stuff, but you know, when I look and I see God's spoken this to me, God has said this to me, God is saying, I've been on the sidelines for too long, that it's time to just get myself right and just get back into serving God. That is through reading the Word of God. And you know, when the Word of God, Jesus, comes and touches our life, we can discover that He wants to, and He is shaping us into children of God. Are you okay with us this morning? Do you believe you're a child of God? You are. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit. We've got to, church, we've got to position ourselves. We've got to position ourselves. Many years ago, Annette and I, we had our three kids. We had a three-bedroom house. The kids all left. It became Annette and I in a three-bedroom house. We're thinking, well, what do we do? The first thing we did, we turned one of our rooms into a soaking room. Not for showers or baths, but a place that we just set aside, no television, nothing, just some music, and we just sat there. We go in there and we just sit and we play just worship music, and we just sit and we just bask and we just pray. And you know, it's not been easy getting to that place, but we have positioned ourselves. And you know what? We have just seen tremendous transformation from the inside out. Do you know, what do you need to do to position yourself? And the times when we struggle to say, God, I can't do it, He's there saying, well, I can. I can. Oh, come out. I'll finish with this. Yes, I'm finishing, okay. I am finishing. A student who had or was facing issues and just wanted to keep reminding himself that he had to trust in God. And so he got 6 postcards and he wrote large letters on them, LETGOD, let God, and he put them on his mantelpiece to remind him every day, yeah, let God do it. Yeah, let God do it. Yeah, let God do it. And you know, one night, as he was sleeping, the wind came and blew one of the letters down, the letter D. And as he got up in the morning, and here on the mantelpiece was let go. And God was reminding him, yeah, you have to let go of some stuff. You have to let go. Because, you know, unforgiveness can shape our lives. Bitterness can shape our lives. And sometimes we have to, as hard as it is, to let go. That may be a word for some people here this morning, that you're having to let go. You're having to let go. You've got to let go, church. Can we stand together? Is that okay? Guys, if the guys in the band can come back, am I allowed to do this, Kenny? Yeah, come on, let's just wait on God, because I know that he is speaking. If the Holy Spirit is here, He is here. He is speaking to us. And you know, even getting into a posture, whether it's opening your hands or whether a posture of heart, but just allowing Him to come and just speak. Do you know, this woman who was bent over could have said, no, Jesus, you come to me. Don't bring me out to the front in front of everybody. But no, Jesus called her and she came forward. Do you know, and as we worship, and before Kenny comes back and does what he needs to, do you know, maybe this morning, Jesus has caught your eye and you've caught His eye. And He's saying to you, come out. Come out. Bring your disappointment out. Bring your pain out. Bring your regrets out. Bring your unforgiveness out. Maybe this morning there's an invitation that Jesus is saying to you, yeah, just come. And I want to say, don't let pride, don't let what other people think, and whether you're a leader or whatever, we've all got our stuff. And I just really believe that God wants to just come and meet us here. And yeah, Jesus can speak to you and heal you as you stand at your seat. But you know, sometimes I believe that God looks for, well, are you willing? And maybe that's a sign to him to say, yeah, God, I am. I'm going to the front. Someone may come and just put a hand on your shoulder, maybe a ministry team. But this is your time with Jesus. This is your time to let him lift off that burden that you've been carrying for so long. This woman for 18 years, immediately, with an encounter with Jesus, it was gone. And so maybe this is your time just to come and just say, Jesus, I'm coming forward. Here is my pain. Here is my disappointment. I'm coming for healing. God, I need your healing. I need your healing. And as the team begin to just lead us in worship, just going to leave it open for people to come, let me just close with prayer for us. And then if you need Jesus just to lift stuff off, I'll just invite you to come. Father God, thank you for this story. That, Lord, our lives can be bent out of shape just by life. Just by stuff, pain, regrets, whatever, disappointment. That, Lord, this morning I thank you that your Holy Spirit is here. Thank you, Father God, that you're a loving God. That you are compassionate. That you are full of grace. And you love every single person here. And your heart is to see them set free. Your heart is to see them walk in the freedom that Jesus has won for them on the cross. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so, Father, as you're speaking to some hearts here this morning, or this afternoon, Lord, that you would just allow your Holy Spirit to come and just start to bring healing to people's lives. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, guys, if you need to come forward, I don't get paid for every person coming forward. But I just really believe, don't let the enemy keep you bound up. Amen. Thank you, guys. If you just can just lead us.